This is Flourish. I'm Caitlin White. Today, Dr. Carlos Zayas is joining us, a distinguished nephrologist and the medical director of the Renal and Pancreas Transplant Program. We're going to explore the real impact of dehydration, uncovering its often overlooked effects on your mind and body. Doctor, what are some surprising signs of dehydration that people might not recognize?
To feel that you're starting to get dehydrated is when your mouth gets dry. Now, there are medications that can make you feel that way, but granted that you're not taking any medications that will affect the production of saliva, dry mouth is another example of early signs of dehydration. When someone comes to you and said, I'm feeling weak, weakness is another early sign of dehydration. People don't realize that when the fluid volume in their bodies is low, they might feel just simply weak. And that's one of the early signs, along with tiredness, and if it's more severe, palpitations. Now, when the dehydration becomes more severe, especially with people who had other medical conditions, especially elderly patients, they might develop confusion and at times irritability. So they get angry or they get frustrated or confused, not knowing why. And it could be just simply as the fluid status is low, they're dehydrated.
And how does dehydration affect how we think, feel, and function day to day?
Well, dehydration can affect your day-to-day activities in many ways. First off, if you're dehydrated, your blood pressure drops. So you feel tired, you're less likely to be active. You're less active, less willing to move around, to walk, go upstairs, or even do your day-to-day activities at work. They can also make you feel anxious because you might develop tachycardia, right? So your heart rate goes up and you feel your heart like fluttering or having these palpitations that can make you feel weird, right? Dehydration can also affect your joints. It might affect the way you feel your joints when you walk, when you go up the stairs, when you're trying to work out. You may have more joint pain, more discomfort when you're doing physical activity. And obviously, if you're tired and associated with dehydration, you might get sleepy easily and you might be less productive at work and more irritable, right? So you might be more likely to react to something that otherwise would not make you angry or upset.
Can dehydration impact digestion, skin, and joint health as well?
Yeah, so the amount of body fluid that we have will affect the way many organs and systems perform their functions. For instance, digestion in particular is very important. If you think about digestion of food, requires the production of gastric secretions to produce acid, which helps digest proteins and fat in the stomach. And the movement of food through the intestine and the absorption of nutrients and vitamins, proteins, fat, and carbohydrates is affected by the excess or the limited amount of fluid. For instance, if you are dehydrated, you get constipated. If you get constipated, you have abdominal pain. If you have then diarrhea, you can get dehydrated from too much loss of fluid through the gastrointestinal system. So by all means, fluid intake, dehydration, lack of fluid will affect digestion in all aspects. That's one part. In terms of the skin, if you think about we humans, our body is 70% water. So the integrity of your skin, what we call the skin turgor or the strength of the skin, is affected by the water composition, how much you have. So you're more likely to get the dry skin, scaly skin, more likely to have bruises and injury to your skin when the skin is dry versus when the skin is at a normal state or turgor. And then we mentioned these joints, right? In order to allow the movement of two bones, the joint basically allows two pieces of bone to coordinate a movement, right? There's a cushion, like a shock absorber between the bones. And there's this sac that we call a synovial sac, which contains synovial fluid. Synovial fluid is a very thick material that is mostly water. And so when you're dehydrated, that sac is more flexible, it's smaller, slimmer, and it will not allow the normal the movement of the joint affecting the way you perform. So all those organ systems and tissues would be affected by dehydration, as I mentioned, in various ways. So the human body cannot function properly without the necessary amount of body fluid.
So what are some effective ways to stay hydrated beyond just drinking water?
Beyond drinking water, there are other ways to prevent dehydration. So, of course, water is one, and the appropriate intake of nutrients that provide you with water equivalent. So the ingestion of fruits, in the case of soups or other drinks that provide some content of water, including milk. That's another way to add water to your body. Second is, how do you prevent the evaporation or the loss of your normal water storage? So appropriate clothing, right? If it is really cold, you know, use appropriate layers of clothing. If it's hot, then less amount of clothing. If you're going to do a physical activity, specifically exercise, wear the appropriate outfit or clothing to allow perspiration or to preserve, you know, that fluid, right? And then the adjustment of the room temperature is very important. I mean, you can get dehydrated if you spend all day in a sauna, right? Likewise, if you have the room temperature at a very high temperature, you can evaporate more of your fluid. It is important also to take care of what we call the mucosa, right? So another way to lose water is just keeping your mouth open when you don't have to do that. So when you're running and you keep your mouth open is another way to lose extra moisture, water, right? So if you can breathe through your mouth when you're doing physical activity, it's probably a way to decrease the amount of water losses. I think those are some of the most common ways. I would say also that people that swim for a long period of time, one of the normal responses of the human body after swimming or after being immersed in water is to urinate. So most people will leave the swimming pool to go and use the restroom. So if you're swimming or you are inside pool, the sea or anything like that, it's important to, when you get out, after you control your body temperature and take care of the extra water or towel, whatever you're going to do, to drink the appropriate amount of fluid water or supplement to prevent dehydration as well.
And doctor, I'd love to talk about hydration supplements for a bit. How do those work? And with so many on the market, what should we look for in their ingredients?
The best hydration supplement by excellence is certainly water. Now, we can get water intoxicated when we only drink water, because we have to understand that the human body keeps a perfect balance between the content of water and the content of what we call the body electrolytes. And those are primarily sodium and chloride, which is salt, but also potassium, calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus. So let's say you eat a normal diet. You eat your 3 meals with snacks, you're at work, and you're appropriately dressed in normal body temperature. With water alone, it should be enough, you know, to provide the amount of water losses that you have in your day-to-day activity. But let's say that you go to the gym and you're going to do, let's say, an hour of exercise that is moderate, mild to moderate. Full water would be another way to do it. Keep your joints and your muscles well hydrated while you're doing an exercise, and that seems to be enough for you. Now, if you're going to do an hour and a half of exercise that requires strenuous exercise, lots of perspiration, maybe going to the sauna, doing a long run, so speaking, you might lose, along with the normal water, excess electrolytes. So that's when drinks that contain electrolyte supplementation come to play. And it's important that they have the right balance of sodium, chloride, and potassium, as well as phosphorus. So one thing that the public doesn't realize that is some of these supplemental drinks contain electrolytes, but they contain a lot of glucose, sucrose, or fructose. Now, excess amount of sugar will increase your blood sugar, which in fact will make you urinate more, and then it can dehydrate you on the other end. So what I recommend is the appropriate amount of electrolytes without much carbohydrate content in these drinks. So, for instance, the World Health Organization would recommend that if you need to create your own homemade IV fluid for oral hydration, you take 3 tablespoons of sugar and 1 of salt, and that will give you the appropriate relationship of glucose and sodium chloride. Some of the best drinks out there, and I don't want to talk for brands, but, you know, any of the drinks that are zero or low calorie contain adequate amount of potassium, sodium, and phosphorus without much glucose, and those seem to be the most appropriate for hydration after a strenuous exercise. Another way to hydrate is, let's say you have an elderly person at home who's taking diuretics. So these are drugs that make people produce urine or urinate. And at the same time, they lose electrolytes due to the effect of the drugs. So when they get dehydrated, they're not only needing water, they're needing also salt. So sometimes I recommend just a little bit of broth or a small Campbell's soup, chicken noodle soup, or Lipton soup that contains enough sodium and water to replenish the needs close to what we do in hospital with 1 backup, what we call normal saline. So it depends on the characteristics of the patient or person, the type of activity he or she is doing, the body weight, and also the health condition.
What about if you're sick? Are hydration aids helpful then?
When we're sick, hydration is extremely important. Let's just take, for example, viral illnesses. When we have the flu, when we have a cold, COVID, gastroenteritis, or, you know, when people are sick of their stomach, and all those will lead to dehydration in many ways. For example, when your body temperature goes up, you perspirate more, you lose a lot of water. That's number one. When you have a fever, number two, you urinate more because the what we call inflammatory molecules from your body fighting the infection of the virus will make your kidneys filter more. So you increase filtration, so you produce more urine, so you lose more water. Also, when you have a fever, you tend to breathe faster, so you move more air from your lungs, which is a very large area of exposure, so you lose extra water. So likewise, when you have stomach illness and you have loose stools, diarrhea, that kind of thing, not only you don't eat as much, but you're losing extra water. So for all those conditions, it's important that you increase the amount of water or fluid that you take. And I normally recommend that for every glass or bottle of water, you drink something else that is not water. I'll give an example. If you're going to drink the water followed by a non-carbonated drink, let's say milk, if you can tolerate milk, Gatorade or Powerade, or something along those lines that contain electrolytes, or let's say broth or a homemade soup, that will give you not only the water component, but also a little bit of vitamins and electrolytes, sodium, chloride, hopefully a little bit of potassium. You put potatoes in that, and maybe carrots or spinach or something that will give you some phosphorus and magnesium, which are important electrolytes for muscle contraction and for the well-being of your heart and nerve conduction. So water alone is sometimes not the most advisable thing to do. In addition to that, it's important to keep in mind that certain drinks can dehydrate you. I'll give an example. If you drink tea, sweet or unsweet, the presence of caffeine in the tea or the coffee acts like a diuretic. So you can actually get dehydrated drinking too much coffee or tea. So if you're going to drink tea or coffee, then you have to double the amount of other fluids in order to compensate for what you're losing due to the caffeine component. carbonated beverages as well because of the fructose component. Fructose or any sugar will increase the filtration in kidneys, making you filter more water. So if you drink a Coke, then for every Coke, you need 2 glasses of water in order to compensate for what you're going to lose due to the caffeine and the Coke. So yeah, it gives you an idea that not all fluids are made equal.
And wrap it up for us today, Doctor. Can hydration supplements be harmful if overused or misused?
Yeah, some of the commonly used hydration supplements can be harmful. And I'm going to give you some examples. People that only drink sport drinks all the time, they can actually increase the amount of glucose that they ingest per day, making their body weight go up, increasing body adiposity, keeping their blood sugar kind of elevated all the time, making their A1C go up and stay high for a long period of time. And in that way, put you in a state close to pre-diabetes in some instances. That's one. The other is some of these supplements might contain the, I would say, incorrect proportion of electrolytes.
Such an interesting conversation today, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing. That was Dr. Carlos Zayas. For more information, visit prismahealth.org/flourish. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and explore our entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Caitlin White, and this is Flourish. Thanks for listening.